This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A minimum wage hike, not from government, but from companies. From APM in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. IKEA is raising its minimum wage for thousands of American workers, hiking it 17% to a national average of $10.76, well above the federal minimum wage. It's the latest big company to decide on its own to pay workers more. Marketplace's Noelle King from our Wealth and Poverty Desk joins us to talk about what this trend means. Good morning, Noelle.
Good morning.
Cities, states, the federal government have all considered raising the minimum wage lately, which triggers debate about whether that's bad for business. But this is different. These are big for-profit companies saying, we're going to pay our workers more. We think that's good for business. What's going on?
Well, as you mentioned, the federal minimum wage, a push to raise the federal minimum wage, failed in the Senate earlier this year. And in the meantime, we've seen a patchwork of cities and states making their own decisions on whether to raise the minimum wage locally. But companies are pushing into the fray as well. In fact, just this week, The Gap rolled out its new minimum wage of $9 an hour for employees. The argument is we need to keep good people, and the way we're going to keep good people is by paying them good wages.
So what is IKEA saying they'll have to do when they raise wages? Are they going to increase prices for shoppers, hire fewer people?
You know, the company says it has no plans to raise prices, no plans to cut staff or reduce hiring. They say the reason they can go ahead and pull the trigger on this is that for the past couple of years, they've been cutting costs in other ways. This question of whether raising the minimum wage in general forces businesses to cut staff is a real hot potato. You've got businesses, both large and small, some of them arguing that if they're forced to raise wages, they will have to lay people off. In the case of IKEA and The Gap, it's clearly a calculation that they made and came down on the side of raising those wages.
Okay, Marketplace's Noelle King, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Action sports camera maker GoPro goes public today at a price valuing the company around $3 billion. It is profitable, but to keep investors happy, the company may need to go beyond making cameras that do well strapped on surfboards. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
GoPro videos are famous for scenes like this. Two guys ski off a cliff wearing parachutes.
We just skied this! Oh my God!
So far, GoPro has made most of its money from cameras that can be mounted on helmets, toddlers, birds, you name it. But to really make money, GoPro needs to be more interactive. So says Andrew Sheehy of Generator Research. He says GoPro should build its cameras into goggles that could connect to the web.
I might want a map of the resort. I might want to know where I am in the resort.
GoPro videos could have a future on cable TV, according to Jeff Howe, who teaches multimedia journalism at Northeastern University.
If they are able to take a best of and upstream it to, they get their own half-hour show on MTV or something.
Where GoPro could sell advertising, leading to a steady stream of revenue that investors would love. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. A gift from you, yes, you, if you can, in any amount, helps the Marketplace crew keep telling the money stories behind the news of the day. Help us end the budget year in a strong position by making a gift at marketplace.org by June 30th. America's Latino population is exploding, which means expanded political and buying power. Despite this, Latinos are vastly underrepresented in English-language American media, both on the air and behind the scenes. That's the finding of a new study from Columbia University's Center for the Study of Ethnicity and Race. Univision News anchor Enrique Acevedo joins us to talk about it. Good morning, Enrique.
Good morning, Mark.
So for you and people in the Latino community, was this story surprising, alarming, old news? What did you think when you heard this study?
Well, it's a very interesting study. I think it confirms what organizations like the National Council La Raza or the National Association of Hispanic Journalists have been saying for quite some time now, this lack of diversity in a major U.S. industry, it's not only has a negative impact in the type of content that we have access to, but it also has a negative impact in the stereotyping of Latinos in this country. The bottom line, it's not good for business.
Well, brands and advertisers, they know that there's a business impact. They're watching the Latin American population, watching it grow. It tends to be a young population. These are the people that advertisers want to reach. So why is it when they are willing to spend their money to buy advertising on programs that will reach this audience, why is it the networks and the studios aren't creating more content that depicts this community?
Well, the study says there's persistent and unchecked job discrimination towards Latinos. I think it's not discrimination as much as it is underestimating the audience, underestimating the power of content, and paying more attention to cosmetics like an accent, like the one I have, or just a certain type of look.
And what do you think it takes for these media companies to understand this and to turn this around? Is it more about kind of getting more Latinos in the behind-the-scenes positions, the writers and producers? Is it some combination of many things? How do you fix this?
I think it's a combination of many things. You mentioned the power of advertising and companies realizing that it's good for business. They're looking at a $1 trillion market with Latinos. Also, having more people behind the scenes, not only producers and writers, but executives, and also owner talent. If I asked you about, I don't know, try to name 3 or 4 Latinos who are part of the mainstream media here in the U.S., people would probably say J-Lo or Ricky Martin, even Sofia Vergara. But if you think about news and, you know, other types of entertainment, it's not an easy question to answer.
Enrique Acevedo, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
Find more stories and tell us what you think at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.